Please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I will begin reading with the 15th verse and reading on through the end of the chapter. John chapter 21, verse 15 and following. When they had finished eating, or in the original language, we see that this is where we get the word for breakfast, because it reads, when they had finished the fast. They had broken the fast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired words. As I said earlier, this is a little lesson in English. As they had broken the fast, as they had breakfast, early in the morning, Jesus had gone out. And if you read the first part of this chapter, you will notice that the disciples had gone out to go fishing. Now, it's an interesting thing that we see about the disciples. And I don't know if I'm going to be saying something new to you or not, but the disciples had a hard time believing the resurrection. They had a hard time believing that Jesus would come to life again, even though he had said over and over that he would be resurrected on the third day. And yet, when they went to the tomb, and we remember in last week's sermon that John and Peter ran to the tomb, and that Peter left marveling at what had happened. Didn't say believing, but marveling at what had happened. Go back to John chapter 13 and look what is told there. Because this is something else that Jesus said. Verses 37 and 38. And this is recorded in all four of the Gospels. But let's look at verse 37 and 38. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? This is prior to the crucifixion. Jesus had said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. Peter said, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Notice what Peter says. I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. If it's necessary, have him put a fourth cross up there on that hill. And I'll go there and I'll give my life right with you. But notice what Jesus said. Peter, and I can almost hear him saying this, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then go to John chapter 18. And let's look at the verses 15 through 18. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter, now notice Peter, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You are not one of his disciples, are you? I don't know if any of you have ever been in Canada and heard Canadianese, but this is the way they would ask that in Canada. You one of his disciples, eh? They always use that "a." You are not one of his disciples, the girl at the door asked Peter. And Peter said, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. And then go over to verse 25. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, are you not one of his disciples? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the Olive Garden? And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. What do we read that Peter did? Peter then went out and wept bitterly. Now he goes back to the room where all the disciples were at. And he cannot comprehend about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you remember that on that first Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the 12, and Peter was there. And he said, stay here until I send the Holy Spirit. And yet, Peter had a hard time understanding all about the resurrection. And then we remember that Jesus appeared a second time when Thomas was with them, and he said to him, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Those words were not spoken only for Thomas. Those words were spoken for Thomas and for Peter and for James and for John, and for you, and for me, and for all who want to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because look at these words. Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." And now the word to you and to me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How many of you, and we were talking this morning, how many of you have seen the scars in Jesus' hands? I haven't. How many of you have thrust your hand into his side which was riven? I haven't. And yet, what does Jesus say? Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are you and me, are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So there's the setting for this breakfast that we're about to follow after. Jesus had come to the side of the lake where a few of the apostles, and about seven, I think, were fishing. And they weren't getting anything. And they saw someone standing on the bank. And he said, "Cast your net on the other side." And they cast their net on the other side, and their net was full. Do you remember how many fish there were in that net that day? How many?
120.
A few more. 153. 153. But the net didn't break. And then Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast. Come and break the fast with me." And notice that he had taken the bread and the fish, and he ate it. Proof of the resurrected Christ in the bodily form, that he ate fish and bread with his disciples. Now, let's come to this last part where we read today. Peter is a very interesting person. You ever read the list of the disciples in the Bible? You notice that Peter's always the first one? Do you realize that in the Gospels, Peter is spoken about more than any of the other disciples? Do you know that Peter talks a lot of times when he shouldn't talk? And he said a lot of things that he shouldn't have said. And you remember that one time Jesus said to him, "Satan, get thou behind me." That's Peter. And yet, Jesus has a strong fondness for Peter. So here he is, looking back at denying him three times, looking back at all the other times when he said, "Peter, you can't go with me now. Peter, would you really die for me now?" Peter, he addressed him in a satanic name. "Get behind me, Satan." So this is Peter. Not some papal authority, but rather someone common like you and me. Saying, "Yes, I will, Lord," and then didn't. Well, now it's time for Peter to be reinstated. Because after he had denied Jesus three times and the cock crowed, he went out and wept bitterly. And Peter had to be reinstated in that group of apostles for the good of Peter and for the good of the group and for the good of you and me. But now notice how Jesus addresses him. You read in verse 15. He doesn't say, "Peter, rock." He said, "Simon, son of John. He doesn't use that Peter name. He uses his given name, Simon, son of John. Or if you read in the King James, Simon Barjona. Notice what else he says. Do you truly love me more than these? He doesn't say just simply, do you love me? But he says, do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, there's an interesting thing, because Peter is asked the question using the word for love, agape. Do you love me with a sacrificial love? And Peter answers and says, yes, Lord, filial. I love you like a brother. That's why he says, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, I love you like a brother. But Jesus says again to him, feed my sheep. He didn't turn away from him. He said, feed my sheep. The second time, again, he's using his given name. Not his name that means rock, but he said, Simon, son of John. Notice what he says. Do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? Not more than these, but do you love me? Again, Jesus uses the term agape. And Peter responds. Remember, Peter's kind of slow to catch on at times. Peter's like you and me. He said, Lord, filial. Here is Jesus saying to Peter, do you love me the way I love you? Do you love me unto death? And Peter says, Lord, I love you like a brother. Well, dear people, let me tell you something. That's not how Jesus wants us to love him. So he asks him a third time. Simon, son of John. And again, he doesn't use Peter. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, agape. And now Peter is hurt. Because Peter has going through his mind now, three times back there, I denied my Jesus. Just after I had said, put up that fourth cross and I'll die with you. But now, when the rubber hits the road, I denied him three times. Peter is hurt because Jesus asked him, do you love me? Now notice what he said. Lord, you know all things. You know, Lord, how I love you. You know, Lord, that I want to love you with an agape love, but I'm weak. You know all things. You know that I love you with all that I have. That was Peter's reinstatement. That was his confession. And that is the confession that Jesus wants of you and of me. Not to simply say, Lord, I love you like a brother. No. I love you with every ounce of my being. I love you with every fiber of my being. That's what he's calling us. Now notice what he says to him. Feed my sheep. And then he goes on. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old and will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you want to go. This is telling Peter what death he was going to have. He wasn't going to die on the cross with Jesus. He was going to be a minister of Christ into the world. And tradition, strong tradition, has it that Peter was crucified on a cross in Rome, hanging upside down. And tradition also says that he wasn't the only one who was crucified or martyred for his faith. You remember that James was beheaded. You remember that Thomas was martyred in India. And we read that Peter was crucified. And yet, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." How can that be? What happened to Peter? What happened to this boastful disciple? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the power of Christ. He was filled with the living Christ living in him. And even though he knew that he would give a life directed, a death directed by someone else, yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hadn't been before. Peter couldn't understand the resurrection up until now. And now the resurrected Christ filled him with the Holy Spirit, told him what kind of death he would have to glorify God, and then he said, "Follow me." Have you heard Christ say that to you? As we sit in this sanctuary this morning, we hear Jesus say to us, "Follow me." Notice, if we go on a bit, Peter wasn't totally perfect at this point in time. Peter turned and saw the disciple, that was John, following them. I kind of get the picture here that Jesus and Simon were taking a little walk. You know how you do that with your kids sometime? Say it's time for you and Dad to have a little talk. Yep. And you go wandering out. That's sort of what I see with Peter and Jesus. But Peter looks and he sees John. And he says, "Well, Lord, you've said to me, follow me. What about him?" Peter still wanted to soften the blow a little bit. He wanted to soften the command. Jesus said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, there was that rumor and so forth. But the words here that Peter heard, "Follow me." What if I want him to remain until I return? What is that to you? You must follow me. Now that's where we apply the message for today. When we leave this sanctuary this morning, what do? Run and get lunch? And watch the ball game? Or do we hear Jesus say to each of us, you must follow me? So I challenge you this day, dear people. I challenge you. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. We don't know what God wants each of us to do. We don't know that. It may be on a farm. It may be in a factory. It may be on a mission field. But Jesus says to each of us, you follow me. Don't look to your left or to your right, but look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, dear people, on this second Lord's Day following the resurrection, hear the words of Jesus. Do you love me? Not just with a filial love, but with an agape love, that you would lay down your life for your master. He laid down his life for you. And that you will go forward following him wherever that may take you. Could it be to a mission field? Or could it be to the family? Wherever he wants you. Follow. Follow. Follow Jesus. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, I would pray that as this word has gone forward this morning, that you would apply it to the hearts and the lives of everyone who has been in hearing distance of my voice, and that they may say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will love you with that love of Christ. Wherever you might ask me to go, I will go. And I will bring glory to your name. For Christ's sake. Amen.